And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. It's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday. I've asked Kate to join me. Now, Kate has got a really incredible backstory. I'm amazed at her backstory. Let me share a few things with you that amazes me about her. First of all, she grew up in a different country. Now, there's a lot of Americans that grew up in different countries. They emigrate to the United States. They do what they need to do. They work on citizenship. They eventually earn their citizenship. And they turn out to be outstanding Americans. But here's the thing. Not all countries are created equal. I mean, some countries are similar to the United States. They don't have a constitution or anything like that. But they try and operate in a way that it's not so bad coming from a country like that to a country like ours. I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of the European nations that are out there, because I mean they're different as far as how their governments work, but I think transitioning into America is maybe less problematic than transitioning into America from a country that Kate came from. Now, the country is called China. Now, whatever you believe or think about China, That's your opinion. And I guarantee you, Kate's got her opinions about China, too. I have my opinions about China, too, after serving in the United States Army for 27 years. I formulated an opinion about China. So one of the things I'm going to do today is I'm just going to ask Kate, I mean, what was her journey like? Then we're going to get into what she's done for a living. We're going to get into what she's done with real estate. We're going to talk about things that are important for you to hear, because Kate has a story that she's going to share with you. And that story is probably going to resonate with you. As a matter of fact, that story may get your real estate investing juices flowing. And you know what? You might just decide to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited like Kate did, like I did, like the 50,000 members that are all a part of Lifestyles Unlimited. So let me do this. Let me bring Kate onto the show, because I want you to hear from her own lips her amazing story. Kate, welcome to the show. I'm just excited to have you here today.
Hey, Al. I'm excited to be here and talking to you and sharing my story. Thank you for having me.
So let's get right into your backstory. Let's get into the whole China versus America thing. Let me just ask you a very, very general question to set the stage. Which country is better to live in, China or America?
Well, it depends on what are you looking for.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're talking about work, business, economically, America is absolutely better. But if you're talking about lifestyles, family, friends, I think each person has his own opinion for me, too. You know, so I mean, in here, it's very different. You know, families are not as close, but people respecting, freedom, independence. You can have your own, you choose your own life and opinions of how you want to live. But in China, family are more close, friends are more close, but they are all over your business. They tell you how to live your life. They're both, yeah, that's, you know, pros and cons.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, because I've got another friend that immigrated from China, and I will tell you, I get an earful when I ask her about what it's like living there. And, you know, she got a taste of America and she loves it. She's actually, I think, in China right now. I think she went back to go visit family because her family is back there. So what you're saying resonates with me, because I've not only heard it from somebody else, I've heard it from other people. So is family important to you? Let's just get to the meat of the issue.
Yes, they are important to me.
And where is your family at primarily? Have many of them come over to America, or are they still in China?
No, they're all still in China.
Do you have a plan to help them immigrate, or do they even want to immigrate?
Not really, because, you know, for old people, they are all older. So they do have their lifestyle, their community. They don't drive. They don't speak English. In China, they do have their family around, the friends around. They have things that they enjoy doing, so they're living their life. But if they come here without driving, you can't really go anywhere. And it's harder to find a community that's next to your door. So the life wouldn't be as much fun or as much enjoyable for them coming here versus living in China.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is it's better for you to go there and visit them than it is for them to come over here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's kind of expensive. I mean, we're talking about international travel. What does it cost to go visit China?
Well, actually, it's not too bad. So I'm going back in July. I bought my tickets from Houston to Japan, direct flight, round trip. It's a nice for $950. And I'm going to buy another separate tickets from Japan to China. That's another maybe additional $500 round trip. So $1,500, $1,450. It's not too bad for the summer.
Yeah, that's actually not too bad. I was thinking you'd be in the at least 2,000 to 3,000 range. So you must be an excellent shopper, or prices are coming down.
Well, let's say I'm good at planning. I'm good at shopping around.
How many international trips do you take per year?
I usually take two. I mean, that's only the amount of vacation that I can spare for two international trips, and maybe a couple domestic trips.
Okay, so you're traveling. Now, it sounds like you're still working. Is that true? You still have that W-2 job?
Yes.
Okay, so what pays for all this travel? Is it the W-2 job, or is it the income that you receive from all the real estate that you've been investing in since you became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited about 5 years ago?
I think of both. So my W-2 job gave me savings, and I put the savings into real estate investments, and I generate the cash flows, and I can use those money for travel.
Interesting. So I usually say on the show that, you know, you can buy a house, and that house will produce a certain amount of cash flow, and then you can use that cash flow for anything you want. I mean, you can use it for a car payment. You can use it to pay your insurance, but you use it to travel, to go see your family, because I think that's pretty important to you.
Absolutely.
So why did you come to America? What was the thing that caused you to leave China, come to America, and start over new?
Well, this is, I mean, that's a great question. And I think my answer can resonate with many people, that I'm looking for a better life and better opportunities. So that's the reason that I moved here.
Now, in China, do they do a pretty good job of filtering out information that comes from America?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely censorship that we are not able to get on Google. We can't watch YouTube. We don't have access to Facebook or Instagram. I don't know what other things. So they do censor what you can see.
So how do you find out about what life is like in America if the government is preventing you from getting access to what that would be?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, I think I didn't really know a whole lot of what it is like here, what life is like here in the America. But I do hear American dreams. Many people want to come to the U.S. for school and then to work here. So, you know, it seems like it just people, you know, if people want to go to move here for work or for school, it seems like a better place to be to me at the time.
Okay, so I mean, you've had access to people that have come to the United States, experienced what life is like here, that go back to China, and I guess it's word of mouth, right?
Yes, yes. Well, I moved to Thailand when I was 20 for college. So in Thailand, there's no censorship. I was able to, you know, see the news, internet, you know, read articles, and met people from all over the world. So that's eye-opening. But back in China, even people do get, you know, limited information, or, you know, it's filtered what they want you to hear. But I think people still know what's going on outside China. So it's not a secret that if people want to move to the U.S., you can have a better life, you can have a better education.
So you made the decision to come to America. Welcome, by the way. We're glad to have you. How's it been since you've been here?
Oh, it's been great. I'm loving it.
So what caused you to get involved with real estate? I mean, I'm thinking you've got a pretty good job. Now, what do you do for a living exactly?
So I'm a accounting professional, and I work at an oil and gas company.
Okay, and I'm guessing that pays reasonably okay?
Yes, so I had to work my way up. Of course, I started, just associate accountant and then work my way up. So now it's good. It's helping me to achieve my goals, but it's still not my ultimate goal because I'm not excited to work a 9-to-5 job and do the same thing until I'm 65. So I guess, I would like to achieve the financial independence early retirement goal. And that's why I want to do something besides my accounting job. So that's when I start looking into real estate. And I've seen successful stories from my close friends, and that motivates me to want to try real estate.
So you actually knew somebody who was buying real estate, and that person was sharing information with you?
Yes.
And what was your response? I mean, were you kind of waiting for that person to fail, or were you just amazed that they hadn't failed and it was actually working?
Well, it's interesting that investing in real estate, that was never the failure. The word of failure never come across my mind. Just because, growing up in China, everybody save money and then want to put into real estate. And also from 2000 all the way to maybe 2020, the real estate booming was just, crazy and magic. So people buy houses, and a few years later, your house is, it's double the price than you bought. I think I've seen this anywhere, like housing is one of the most important essential for everybody. And investing in real estate is never, the wrong place to invest your money. So when my friend started doing it, I would just, I know she'll be successful. I know she's going to do very well. And I was just curious how she did 10 houses in 2.5 years.
So did she tell you?
Oh, yeah. She shared everything with me.
Wow. Was she a Lifestyles Unlimited member?
No, she was. She's not.
Okay. I'm just curious. So she taught you her methodology. Is that fair?
No, she didn't really teach me, but I was more curious to ask all the questions. But, she has her background, she has her experience, and how she learned is different than how I learned. So her methodology wasn't really connected for me, the whole process. But I did think that, if I do it myself, I will learn the in and out of real estate investment. So that's how I started on my own back in 2017. With two friends, and we just try and error. So we're just doing it, learning it by doing it.
That's kind of risky, isn't it?
Yeah, now I look back, it was.
but good on you, because, I mean, you knew that real estate was the catalyst that was going to help you change your life. The frustration you were having, the same frustration I had, was there you just hadn't found an entity that could help you put all the pieces together in a logical plan that you could follow and actually start investing. Was that kind of where you were at?
Yeah, absolutely.
How frustrating is that, by the way?
Oh, Al, do you want me to complain?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
I was waiting for the commercial music to show up because I didn't want you to get onto a massive rant. Trust me,
okay.
It's frustrating when you're trying to do real estate and you just don't know what to do. You don't know what step one is. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about step one. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. I'm joined by Kate. Together, we're working on your financial freedom. And as we're going to commercial break, we were talking about something that Kate and I share, which is something called frustration. Now, it's not frustration with real estate investing. It's not frustration with Lifestyles Unlimited. It's frustration with knowing that real estate investing is the way to go. It's the catalyst you need in your life that's going to help you transition from what you're doing to what you're trying to do. It's going to allow you to generate passive income, which will replace the earned income that you earn by going to work, trading time for money for. And when you get enough of that passive income and it exceeds the money that you effectively earned by going to work, you've effectively retired yourself, and you can get it done in about 5 years or less. I mean, that 5 years seems to be about the sweet spot for most Lifestyles Unlimited members. But here's the rub. And Kate was talking about it before we went to commercial break. When you get that epiphany in your mind that you know real estate is the way to go, and you pull the trigger. In other words, you make the decision, you're going to go out, you're going to buy real estate. And the only thing you have to go on is the trial and error method. How frustrating is it to try and invest in real estate without having a well time-tested roadmap to follow, Kate?
Oh yeah, that was very frustrated. So when I bought the first single family house, I decided to do with cash because, you know, just like every Chinese person, I think okay. I don't want to borrow money. That's too expensive. I didn't have to pay the extra interest or extra closing cost. And if I do cash, I would make it more profitable. So I didn't have enough cash. So I asked the two friends if they were interested. And so we formed a partnership. And then we bought our first single family home for $40,000. And we put in $90,000 for repair. And during the process, so it took us more than probably six to nine months to get it done and put a tenant in there. So it was very frustrating that looking for qualified and a trustworthy contractor who are doing a good job and who are trustworthy, have warranty. So I didn't know all of this. And so the whole process, I managed it. There's so much frustration just communicating and hold them accountable. And then afterwards that we were looking for tenants, we didn't know what to look for, what the background process looks like. So we put somebody that we had a good feeling about them, but there were so many red flags that we overlooked. So we put them in there. The first 3-4 months, they were good. They paid rent on time. And after that, I think the husband started doing drugs and lost his job. So I had to evict them. And when we got the house back, it was trashed within less than 6 months. Yep. So wow. Everything just didn't go very well. It was just very frustrating.
You know, most people would have thrown up their hands and said, that's it, I'm done with this. But you didn't do that. You went and bought another property, didn't you?
I did, yes. So that I thought it was a good deal because during Harvey, that house got flooded. And I went there to see the house. I liked the location. I think the house has so much potential. So, yeah, so we bought another one, but this time we didn't have enough cash anymore, so we did the hard money loan, converted to conventional loan. But okay, that's another lesson to learn, because that hard money loan was more expensive. He didn't let me refinance until 7 months.
Really?
Yes. He just said, no, you know, your hard money also consider cash. So you can't finance until it's 46 months. You start after the 6 months. So yeah, we paid a seven.
Oh, you and I both know that's not true. He conned you though, right? I mean, he got you to believe that you were doing it a particular way when the reality is you were doing it the right way. But you didn't know. You didn't know it was the right way, right?
No.
Okay. And then you bought another house.
Right. So, yes. So, but that one was the one that I lived in there for a few years. So
oh,
that
okay.
one went very well because it's a brand new build. you know, I pay the down payment. So I either have to deal with contractor tenants and all that.
Oh, okay. So you just converted it to rental property when you moved out?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a lot of Lifestyles Unlimited members do that. I mean, they, and it seems to work out pretty good. I mean, how's that experience worked out for you?
Oh, that's very, very good. I wish that I had bought more.
All right. So we've established that you've gone through some trials and tribulations as a real estate investor. You're kind of learning from the school of hard knocks. Why join an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited? I mean, what caused you to check us out and become a member?
So when I already had my two properties, I have had all these experience that I was frustrated, stressed, and I was looking for, because I had a comparison, which is my friend. She has been doing very well, and I just want to understand what I'm not doing right. So I was looking for, you know, either a real estate investment group or networking. You know, I want to learn from people's success stories. So a friend of mine introduced me to Lifestyles, took me to Lifestyles case study. And at the case study, they presented two single family deals. And those deals, every single thing they talked about was very different than what I have done myself. So that's very interesting and raised a lot of questions and curiosity. So why it seems so easy the way they did it, and why what I did was just hard and different than what they have, you know, what their experience is. So I'm like, okay, I think I found the group that I want to learn from.
So you joined, you became a member, you right. went through the Financial Freedom Seminar.
Right.
How difficult was it for you to go through the single family part of the Financial Freedom Seminar, where they pretty much tell you, and it's like they're talking directly to you, that everything you've done in the past with your real estate is wrong? I mean, how did that feel?
It feels frustrating, but also exciting at the same time, because of how David Fisher laid out that step by step, how you locate a deal, like live. He was looking for a deal live on HAR. And then how do you analyze it, the tool you're using it, and how do you repair, you put the numbers in, and then how you, you know, look for tenants and all that. It would just, he made it look so easy. And I was just beating myself up, like, why I didn't come here earlier.
So When you bought that property, it was $40,000, and that was all cash. You guys pulled your cash together and you bought it for $40,000, right?
Correct.
What was the problem of buying it all cash versus using hard money, now that you know what you know?
Well, because I wasn't leveraging the amount of money that I had.
So the reality of it is you probably could have bought that property all by yourself, because you probably had enough money yourself if you had known about the power of hard money, but you didn't know. So that's not the approach you took, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. It cost $130,000 to do all of the repairs. Did you guys pay all cash for that?
Yes.
Could you, had you done a hard money loan, cover some, if not all of that $130,000?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What was the after repair value of that property? Do you recall at the time you bought it? In other words,
I
all
think
fixed
around
up.
There, around 130 something.
Okay, so you weren't capturing any equity in that deal. You were
no.
effectively paying for all the equity, right?
Right.
Okay, so we've got no leverage. You had partners. How did the partners work out? Are they still partners with you?
No, no longer partners.
What happened with the partners?
I learned that with partners is really either, it's harder to have partners. Usually partnership is harder to operate. So on the, you know, dividing responsibilities, on communications, decision makings. So that's why I don't encourage people to form partnership. At least I wouldn't do it myself anymore. But at
okay.
the time, I wasn't, I took it as a learning opportunity, so I didn't really mind to do more. So I managed the whole repair and the renovation process myself, deal with contractors, only when it comes to big decision makings, I would communicate with my partners. So it wasn't easy. Because I was doing the whole work, the whole thing I was doing myself. And if I had the money, I would just make the decision myself right there. But because I had the partners, I had to communicate back with them.
Now, it took
more
you
work.
Yeah. So it sounds like you did all the work and they got to share in all the profits.
Yeah, they did some work too. One of them is a realtor, so she contributed her commission into the deal.
Well, that was nice of her.
Yeah.
I'm poking fun. I'm poking fun at the bear. All right. So I want to talk about the rehab process. It took about 6 to 9 months. Knowing what you know today, how long should that rehab really have taken?
I would say 3 to 4 months because it's a big project, but it shouldn't take longer than 3 to 4 months. And also I would learn, now I have learned that I would know to get multiple bids and I would sign a contract with them to have the amount of the repair and the payment plans and also when is the ending date. And if they don't finish on the date of completion, there will be, some responsibilities they have to take. So that way that they would, be on the target or on the goals and to focus on the project and not to drag it for very long.
Wow, it sounds like you learned a whole lot from David Fisher.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's because you just explained to the audience how to do it the correct way. I mean, yeah. that's how you deal with contractors, right?
Yeah.
No matter if you're the general contractor yourself or you're hiring a general contractor, you want everything in writing. You want certain points of the deal explained, and you want to talk about potential, I'll use the word penalty, potential penalties if the contractor fails to meet the terms and the obligations of the contract. Correct?
Exactly. That's very, very helpful. And, that just showed that the contractor knows what I'm doing and that they wouldn't take advantage of me.
Do you ever get pushback from contractors? Oh, that's not the way we do business?
No. Well, if they do, I don't do business with them.
Oh, you just cut them off right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's a pretty hardcore screening criteria, but I like it. I'm going to use it. I think I actually do use it.
That's who taught me to do it. Lifestyles.
Okay. The last lesson learned I want to talk about that original property was the purple Martians that you put into that property. Now, for the audience, a purple Martian is effectively a person that does just the weirdest, craziest stuff that you can't imagine anybody would do, but yet they've done it. And we classify them as purple Martians because, well, I mean, we don't want to pick on any particular group of people, but they just seem to be like they're from out of this world. So it sounds like purple Martian in your property. How did you fix that? How did you get that purple Martian out?
So I didn't know, and I tried to help them. So I was calling, texting, communicating with them, and hoping that they would pay, and I didn't even charge them a late fee, but they just stopped communicating with me. So I went to the property, and I talked to the wife. I had the wife sign the notice to vacant, but after that, they still, they paid, and then they lived there for, paid a couple months, and then stopped paying again. So I used the same notice to vacant letter the wife signed and, sued them to the court. And eventually, the police officer had to escort them out of the house.
So you actually had to take them through the full eviction process.
I did, yeah. But I had to pay thousands of dollars of repair after that.
Wow. So what do you do now differently to screen your residents?
Oh, my gosh. It's a totally different level. So now when I list my properties, I will already put the criteria on there. And when people are interested and want to see the house, so at the showing, I will bring two documentations. One is the tenant's criteria. So I have it clearly stated. If they want to sign an application, rental application, I will have them sign this criteria first. So sometimes people lie. They don't tell you the truth, but it comes out on their background check. So this is to protect me. If anything that you agreed, you said yes, and you signed it. But if it comes out differently than what you signed, then it's immediately rejection. And I save myself. so I won't get in trouble. Also that during the screening process, I have learned that I will call previous landlords. It's very, very important to call previous landlords. So that their past rental history will tell you what their future rental is going to be.
So you're doing your homework on the individual. You're making sure that the person you're about ready to enter into a long-term business contract with is viable and does what they say they're going to do. And you're going to check to make sure that it's all checked out.
Yes, absolutely. I think I learned this from one of the mentors in the past. So she shared it with me. She said, you have to call the current landlord if they were moving out of that house, but you also have to talk to the previous landlords, because the current landlords, they may just want them to move out. So they will say whatever to let them out. But the previous rental history will give you a view and give you an idea how they're going to treat your property in terms of paying rent on time, treating your property, taking care of your property, no neighbors' complaints, all this type of thing. So I just make sure that you put a good tenant in your house and you save yourself a lot of trouble down the road.
So the people living in your properties now, have they been screened the way you just described?
Absolutely.
And what's the difference between those people and the Purple Martians you originally had?
Oh, these people, they pay rent early. The rent is due day 3 midnight, but they pay me like before the 1st. I go to the property sometimes when there is they need something, and the house is always clean because I have this contract that we signed, the leasing contract we signed, and I state that, okay, so if you live here 1 year, these are normal wear and tear, but the other things, if it's more than that, it will be covered by your deposit. However, if you take care of the property the same as you moved in, when you move out, you get 100% of your deposit back. So these people, they take good care of the properties.
Have you taken a property back? Has somebody moved out already?
Yes, twice. And they took very good care of the properties. I didn't have to do much.
And you were happy to give them back their deposits?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Full deposit refunded, and I was really happy with it.
So it's a day and night result when you know what you're doing compared to what you're trying to figure out on the front end.
Correct.
That's amazing. Where'd you learn how to do all this stuff?
On Lifestyles Portal. So I learned all the classes. So they have a single family education and the multifamily education. So on the single family education, they have all by sections, from locating the deal, analyzing the deal, closing the deal, get the repair, all that, they have all the education video I can watch, and there are also supporting documents that I can download.
Wow, Kate, you are just sending the map out to the world. And if you want to do what she's doing, what I'm doing, what everybody's doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.